Welcome to The Budget Is No, where we dive deeper into how other industries, organizations, and individuals connect with people, resulting in a lasting, meaningful experience. We talk about coming up with ways to do this when there's limited resources and the budget is no. Hi, I'm Elizabeth.
And I'm Katie.
And we're back here for another conversation about events and our thoughts and everything in between.
Yeah, so welcome.
Welcome.
Today, we are going to be talking about experiences.
Woohoo, so fancy.
So fancy. Which I know we mentioned that, obviously, in our tagline, experiences. And I think we are going to be coming to this from a perspective today from the trade show side of things, specifically.
Yep, and kind of things that we've experienced it at either events that we've been a part of planning or attending.
Correct. So one of the things that we always talk about with experiences is how in the landscape of trade shows, they're changing. And, well, they need to change in order for us to keep doing them because we are no longer in just the business of selling real estate, I would say, where it's your traditional, like, here's your booth space and, you know, we own the concrete and we are just selling you your little 10 by 10 and here it is and here's the aisles and here's your little grid and
here's your space for 3 days. Like, it's, I've heard someone say, like, trade shows, like, you're selling time and space.
Exactly.
Like, it's a really weird concept.
It is
if
a
you
weird concept.
Boil it down and think about it.
Yeah, and how much, like, time and effort and energy goes into building and setting up this whole entire production for 3 days just to, like, tear it all down and then
it, like, appears, happens, and then goes away.
Exactly. But us as organizers, I feel like we need to be changing the way that both our attendees and our exhibitors experience our events. And one of the ways that we'll do that is by changing the way that we actually produce the event itself. And we've seen a lot of different producers out there that have done things to kind of break the mold, I would say.
And I think, too, breaking the mold, and I think we probably talked about this before, but I think that this conversation tends to happen around, like, generational. Like, I think a lot of people will say, hey, we have to make our events better for millennials. We have to make our events more accessible in XYZ way because of XYZ. And I think that's such a cop-out. And I think that just needs, we need to have better events just to have better events.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if it's for the younger generation or not. Everybody wants
an engaging speaker.
Everybody wants to be engaged. Everybody wants to have great content. So whether you're a baby boomer, millennial, Gen Z, it should not matter who you're producing your event for. It needs to have engaging content. It needs to be an experience. And you're only going to drive more attendees and more traffic to your show and to your event.
And I think you also need to take some time to look at the feedback you're getting from your attendees. If you look at Explori's Global Insights Benchmarking or probably even some SEER, Center for Exhibitions Industry Research data, or even data that you've collected internally, I think if you kind of know either the pain points of your attendees or the opportunities that you have to make an attendees experience better at your event, you can close that gap between what you're offering as even a show feature or a sponsorship if you're looking to make money, to really make sure that what you're offering is aligned to what your attendees want.
Absolutely. So one of the examples that I want to bring up today is my biggest thing is how we present content mm-hmm. at our shows. I've been saying it over and over, and anybody who comes into my realm will hear.
We've talked many about it.
We've talked many times about this. And so now to all of our podcast listeners, you will get to hear me on my soapbox today.
Please stay tuned.
It's about how we present content and how education is presented as a whole, I believe, is so old and so boring. Nobody wants to go and sit for hours on end in a super boring classroom, sitting and looking at a stupid PowerPoint.
Death by PowerPoint
with a billion bullet points up there by the same speaker who's been speaking since like 1978 telling me about social media. I'm pretty sure you don't even know what Instagram is. So why am I listening to you try and tell me how to do business better on a digital marketplace? No, this is so wrong. All of this is so wrong. So in order to make a change, we have to flip this on its head and we have to do something different. So I'll get off my
soapbox. I'm sorry, I'm giggling right now because this is like the most proud I've ever, well, at least seen you like recording the podcast.
I'll get off my soapbox now.
Okay, no. Keep going. I love it.
But with that, we need to do content differently. So an example of this would be not having your boring old classroom style seating and not having it in a traditional meeting room. Do it on the show floor. And I know people always complain, well, the noise is too loud or this is happening. There's so much going on the show floor. Great. There is so much going on the show floor because that's where everybody is. So why don't you figure out how to make people more involved in the content by doing some of these like silent disco talks that people are starting to have throughout their conference areas, where people have multiple stages within one area on the show floor and there's multiple speakers going on. They have on headphones and a headset, and every person in the audience has a headset on and they can switch over and listen to whatever speaker they want, depending on which topic they're interested in. And if that speaker is boring you, guess what? You can switch to the next one. Yes, there is a fee involved with doing such things, but hey, you can get a sponsor for this so easy. If you have somebody that is like a king of content for whatever this topic is that you're needing, have somebody sponsor this. Have somebody sponsor the headphones. Do you know how many people would be sitting in these sessions and these disco talks and being able to just, not only the fact that you're giving the control to the attendee of what they are actually able to listen to, I mean, that in itself is going to drive people to this area and to the actual education portion of the show and the show floor. So just one little thing that you could do that's different, that's not boring, and that's super entertaining.
And you're not presuming to know, like, what people want. Like, I think that's a mistake that is made, that you just assume that you know what kind of content or what kind of education people are looking for, and so you program all your stuff just because it's easy or it's because it's the way it's always been done.
Exactly.
And that really puts your attendee at a disservice.
Yeah, it's a detriment to the industry that you're servicing.
And I think too, I've seen at some conferences having shorter education sessions. So instead of having the 1 hour sit down in a classroom, the 15-minute like TED Talk style, or just really quick high level 3 bullet points, because you're not going to remember 5 million things. Like, you might remember 1 or 2 takeaways. So having some other content that's like easily digestible.
Absolutely. Bite-sized content.
Definitely.
That's what everybody wants.
Or even, I think I've heard of other groups doing, you may do like a webinar before the event of the general information, and then maybe on site you have kind of the deep dive into it. So if you understood points A and B but didn't really understand point C, maybe you have a deep dive of that and a more in-depth conversation around that for a more in-depth learning.
No, absolutely. There's another thing that I've seen that IBM does for their app developer conference, and it's called their Learn, Try, Play concept, and they do it on essentially like their show floor. It's a mix of education and entertainment. And it's like a very visually pleasing spot on the expo floor. And the learn aspect of it features a mini theater for 10-minute lightning talks.
Okay.
And they're put on by entrepreneurs and the subject matter who are experts in whatever it is that they're talking about. And they only have 10 minutes to, you know, hit 3 or 4 high-level bullet points. And then after their time is done, the entire time within that area is left for networking. And then the tri area is centered on demo stations and hands-on labs where attendees can actually like build apps. So it's all...
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So it's all very much like hands-on. You can actually like dig in and, you know, build apps.
Or try something new you've never done before, or just...
giving you the tools to actually do something and create it yourself. And then the fun part, the play area, it's offered like high-tech versions of rock, paper, scissors in like a foosball type of arena. It was super cool looking, obviously. Yeah. Their budget is not no.
Their budget is yes, a lot.
Yes, a lot. And more. But again... you could take this concept and drill it down to what works for your show, your attendees, and your event.
And that's something that's definitely going to be memorable to the attendees that go. Like, we have had conversations about this, and I think it's you're not going to remember every single thing that you learn, but I guarantee people will remember, well, I went to this talk, and then I met this person, and then we walked over, and like they showed me how to do this coding XYZ thing with this new platform, and like I'm better and I know about that now. But they were given that opportunity to have that interaction mm-hmm. and experience within the traditional trade show format.
Absolutely.
So I have a question then, Katie. Mm-hmm. So, okay, if we think back to, let's see, CISO, which was in August mm-hmm. of this year, a couple months ago, or Expo last year in December, what are the things that you remember experiencing at that conference?
So the biggest thing that I remember about CISO was the closing keynote. And not just because it was the last thing that we heard, but because of the way that this speaker was so interactive with the audience and how... almost emotional it was. Yeah,
I agree. I think I kind of almost like teared up a little.
Yeah, like it was so compelling in a way that he was, first of all, let me set the scene. So he spoke about humanizing business and basically bringing back the human part of what...
just common human decency.
Yeah, common human decency of, like, running a business and being a part of the corporate world. But he didn't just stand up on stage and go through a PowerPoint. He was down in the audience with us. We are sitting at, like, half rounds throughout the room, and he was literally... very intimate with all of us, like in the room, coming around and
just a couple feet away.
And speaking to all of us, like, because we had our name badges on, and he would call us out by name. And at one point, he made every group in the room stand up. So he made like the baby boomers stand up, and then he made the millennials stand up. And when he called out our generation...
I think we, like, eye-rolled because we
I
were...
I know, we're like, oh, God, stop calling us millennials.
And someone's just going to hate on us for, like, killing something else.
Exactly. Like, blame us for everything. And he was able to, like, capture everything that we feel, I think, on, like, a daily basis. Mm-hmm. Not just in, like, the business side of things, but I feel like just, like, how we are...
just
like,
as a generation.
In a generation. And it really did. I almost, like, teared up during it. Because he basically was like, you guys are freaking awesome. He's like, don't let our generation beat you down and think that you're not good enough. And that, you know, you want more. And we make you feel like you wanting more is a bad thing. Like, that you deserve, like, you don't deserve it. He's like, and that's not the case. He's like, you guys want to make this world a better place? He's like, and we're beating you down for that. He goes, if you want to save the whales, like, whatever your whales are, go save them and do it. He's like, don't let the negative energy from everybody else get in your way. And it was, like, so inspiring.
Mm-hmm. And then he went and complimented all the other generations. So he kind of flipped it. Like, instead of thinking, like, oh, no, the millennials are ungrateful. We all want trophies.
Yep.
All of this. Like, no, that was not the spin. And, like, for boomers, like, they just want to do whatever boomers want to do. I don't want to offend y'all if you're listening. But complimented them for their strengths.
Yeah.
So just, like, but, yeah, I agree. Like, him walking around, like, being close, like, because he could have stayed up on the stage with his, like, PowerPoint presentation, but he didn't. Like, he made that effort to come down. And I think, like, having that, like, emotional experience and, like, being able to connect with him, like, really kind of solidified those takeaways. Like, I don't remember all of his bullet points, but I do remember, like you mentioned, like, humanizing business and kind of having those high level. And, I mean, I took notes because that's just how I process mm-hmm. things. So I know I can always go back to my notebook and look and, like, see exactly what he said. But I think, yeah, it was more of, like, the way that he made us, like, feel during that. That was, like, really the impactful moment.
Yeah. So what do you remember most about CISO or Expo Expo?
I think for Expo Expo, it was definitely the puppy break.
The puppies!
So they had a sponsor partner with the local Humane Society, and they brought in, like, four adorable puppies that they just let us play with,
mm-hmm.
and it was so amazing. I think Expo Expo has kind of a traditional kind of show floor with all the vendors, and thinking about how I interacted with them, I definitely remember the people that I, like, did something in their booth.
Mm-hmm.
There was some sort of exhibitor that had a kiosk that you could, like, take a picture with, like, a ring light, and it would print out on your badge. So you had, like, the badge wasn't just your name, like, it was your picture, and you could kind of make it however you wanted to.
And those photos were really good. They were, celeb quality.
Yeah, it was all the lighting.
Mm-hmm.
There was another one that had these, like, pods that you could place on the show floor that they're, like, soundproof, so you could book, like, a meeting on the show floor if you wanted with, like, a business connection or something. And we actually, like, the sales guy, when we asked about, like, how it would work, actually took us to, like, sit in the pod. So, like, I remember, like, sitting in the pod, like, okay, here's the table, here's the door, but, like, they could have just handed us a brochure and said, like, here's our pricing. But the fact that I actually sat in it.
And you experienced what it was like to actually have a meeting in mm-hmm. what they were trying to sell you. I mean, it makes a huge difference.
Definitely.
I think one of the other things that I remember about Expo Expo was one of the exhibitors had a terrarium, is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you would go and take a, like a personality quiz mm-hmm. almost.
Based on business objectives.
Yes. Yeah, based on your business objective. And, like, it was how you, like, best, learn and process information and how, you kind of, like, basically, like, the way that you work through
problems and strategic planning and all that kind of stuff.
And then whatever, like, person that you...
And they were all artists.
They were all artists or, like, musicians or...
Painters,
like, something along those lines. There was, like, a few different ones that you could get. Depending on which person you were, like, matched with, you went into the booth at that point and you built a
terrarium.
Terrarium? Why do I want to say terrarium? Is it terrarium?
I don't know.
Terrarium.
Okay.
I think it's terrarium. Either way. You know those little things that got grass,
like, little
and, like,
moss
rocks and like succulents.
Air plants. Yeah, that thing.
That thing we built. And and so, but everything that went into it was based off of, like, what your character
Because they had sample, like, recipes, if you will.
Yeah.
Like, if you were this persona, then you should use, like, the colorful rocks or the green moss or this wispy plant versus, like, this more cactusy looking plant.
Yes, and there was, like, a definition of why you should use each one and, like, how it would be, like, defined your persona and, like, what color scheme defined your persona. And it was just a very cool, like, hands-on, tactile type of learning experience that I never probably would have remembered their booth otherwise if it wasn't for that.
Is your plant still alive?
No, it shattered in my suitcase on the way home.
Well, I would like to report that mine is still alive, which is a miracle, seeing as we're probably 10 months after the fact.
That is amazing. I'm jealous. No, mine was in a bajillion pieces when I got home.
Well, rest in peace, terranium or terrarium, however you say it.
R.I.P. Too short. We lost you too short.
This actually kind of reinforces a point and statistic that I had read in a blog post. So it was published by GES, and it was called 10 Economical Ideas for an Amazing Exhibit Design. And there was one little line in there that said, 10% of people will remember what you told them after 3 days, but 65% will remember if they take a photo.
Oh, interesting.
And so this is part of this guy. His name is Dr. John Medina. He's a developmental molecular biologist, aka super smart. And he has had a lifelong fascination with how the mind reacts to and organizes information. So he has a stat. And it was all basically that, like, we're such visual creatures that it's better for your recall and better for, like, remembering if you kind of have that, like, visual aspect. So I think, I mean, the terrarium, the building, the booth, the, like, walking through, doing the quiz, all of that kind of stuff, like, all kind of hits your senses and kind of creates this, like, memory. And I mean, I know I probably, like, posted on Instagram about it because it was just so cool that it makes it that much easier to recall that what you've learned.
Absolutely. And again, it goes back to creating an experience for your attendee. And not only that, but if you're an exhibitor, you're creating an experience for yourself too, because something like building those terrariums, geraniums, whatever their word is.
I'm going to Google it.
It makes it so much easier for you to be able to talk to somebody coming in your booth as opposed to just flat out having to sell something. Like, it gives you an in.
A jumping off point.
Yes, an absolute, like, a jumping off point. The same reason of, you know, the puppies that were at Expo, you know, not only were they there to hopefully get adopted by the, you know, from the local animal shelter, but it also was able to have a jumping off point of being able to just start a conversation with the person next to you that's petting a puppy.
Yeah, I miss my dog back home. Or, yeah. Oh, my so-and-so has one that just looks like this.
Makes it so much easier than having to, like, awkwardly start a conversation out of nowhere. Which, even though we are in the business of networking and connecting people, it's still difficult. Even if you do it on a daily basis of having to put yourself out there, it's still hard. And people don't want to, throw themselves out there if they think that they might not have somebody that's going to, like, have a life raft for them.
Yeah. And I know we've talked about, obviously, like, that booth at Expo, that kind of took, like, probably a lot of planning, a lot of thought, like, all the moving pieces. But I think you can do it in a really simple way. The professional organization that we're a part of, we had a reception. It was in New Orleans. And so and this reception was mostly just drinks and appetizers. We wanted to give some people a way to kind of do something fun. So we set up a Mardi Gras mask making station. So we just got the craft supplies, nothing crazy, feathers, glue, some, like, gems and all that kind of stuff, and just had it on the table. And
super inexpensive, very easy. And let me tell you, we had the best party out of anybody.
Oh, definitely. And it wasn't, I mean, it didn't take a lot of time or effort, but it was something that was tied into where we were. We were going to another reception afterwards, so I think people probably, like, carried their masks with them to, like, the next step. So it was just a little thing, like you mentioned, like, it's not, you can talk to someone and be like, oh, like, I really love, like, oh, that use of glitter glue is, like, really awesome. Or, like, oh, like, you must be an LSU fan because you've picked all purple and gold.
Exactly.
It's a really kind of easy, like you mentioned before, jumping off point. So it doesn't have to be, like, a comprehensive booth strategy. Mm-hmm. It could be as simple as a Mardi Gras mask making station, a terrarium station. I looked it up.
Is it terrarium?
Terrarium. Oh. I went to LeakyCon, and it's a consumer-focused event for Harry Potter fans. They had a craft area where you could make little, like, house banners, so if you wanted, like, a Slytherin little pennant or something. I mean, all of that is very easily executed on site, and I think offers a good kind of experience. You can put it up in your office, your bedroom, or whatever, kind of a reminder, and kind of solidifies that in your memory as something you experienced through, like, tactile touch or kind of that emotional connection you've made.
Absolutely. Another thing that I actually implemented on one of my events for my education attendees, I had everybody that went through the education program, they received these little canvas bags that had, you know, all sorts of, like, goodies and collateral in them. But on the front, it had, like, a fun little, like, black and white, I don't know, logo type thing. And I did, like, a coloring contest for people. And I had, like, fabric markers throughout all of the classrooms and on all the tables. So that during the classes and stuff, people could be coloring on their bags. And whoever had the best design would win a free trip to the show next year and, you know, get a free education pass. And not only did it kind of make it fun, but also there's a statistic that people who, I think it's like 79% of people that doodle while they are listening retain more information than people that don't doodle or, like, scribble while they're actually, like, listening to like,
the speaker or the content.
Exactly. So it all, like, ties back into, you know, trying to make it a better experience for the attendees, and trying to make it a better learning environment for them as well.
And actually, now that you've said that with the markers and the paint, I was at an event where there was a paint brand who had a booth. And so they had a, their mascot is a bear. So they had a, not life size, but pretty large bear mascot in their booth that had a, like, an adult coloring book design on it. So you could take paintbrushes and use their paint and paint little parts of this bear. So you could actually, A, experience the product, and B, use it in a fun way. So you're looking at all the richness of the colors.
Cool.
Yeah, and so by the end of the show, it was really cool to see, like, the beginning it was all black and white, and it kind of towards the end, like, it's all filled with these, like, crazy colors, and it gives an opportunity for the sales associates in the booth to, you know, talk to people about their paint needs and kind of what they're looking for, indoor, outdoor, glossy, matte, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, in a really fun kind of way.
I love that. Well, I think that's pretty much
the end of Katie's soapbox.
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for everybody that I got on my soapbox today. I'm just very passionate.
Oh, no. About it. No apologies.
But according to Explore survey, 42% of people who are attending trade shows, they want talks and presentations delivered in a different way. So that just goes to show that content is king and it needs to be delivered in a different way. And we need to change the way that we deliver our conference programs as a whole. Now I'm done.
I like it. Yeah, I think so many ideas and so many things that can be done. And I think just shifting the way we think about it and being open to kind of more unconventional ways, I think will only serve us better in when we plan our events and programs for our attendees.
Cool. Well, until next time, be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and now Stitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And you can also follow us on Instagram at The Budget Is No and Facebook, and also at TheBudgetIsNo.com. And you can find out all of our episodes on there and also all of our stats that we talk about, including my IKEA stat from last week.
Yes. And we did look it up. And actually, Katie, you overestimated.
I did overestimate.
Or underestimated.
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 Underestimated. Because a Billy bookcase is sold every 5 seconds in the world, not 49 seconds. So
even more Billy bookcases out in the world than we thought.
Yeah. There's your tidbit news for the day.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and we'll see you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.